today on A Word to Live By.
Whenever God asks you to knock, just go knock. Keep on asking. Because all you're asking, when you're asking according to this, you're asking according to God's Word. And I want to tell you, there's power in God's Word in prayer. It just is. There's just something powerful about it. It is the great resource of the Word of God.
No matter how powerless you feel, did you know that there are several incredible powers at your disposal? Well, today Pastor Mike Fritcher explains the first of these in part one of The Two Most Powerful Resources Ever.
Jesus, the hope for the hopeless, repairing hearts of the broken, proclaiming God's truth in real life. It's time for A Word to Live By.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to start at John here in just a few minutes. John chapter 3, verse 26 through 30. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a message, and there was a point there that the speaker said that the most powerful resource available in the world today is human potential. And I stopped there because I thought, human potential? Really, that's the biggest, greatest resource that the world has ever seen? Human potential, or anything human in of itself, will never be enough. You might have the greatest potential to do whatever, but potential doesn't mean anything, really. I mean, there's lots of folks who've had great potential. You don't succeed in life because you have potential. And so when I think of God and I think of who He is and the resources that He's given us, we can't do anything without Him. That we are totally dependent, not on our human ingenuity or our smartness or our intelligence or any of those things. Without Christ, we're nothing. Isn't that why we've received Christ into our lives? We realize that there was nothing in me, nothing in this fallenness about my life that I could ever offer God. And that's why grace is unmerited. It's God who comes along and sees us in our sin and sees us in our need and begins to speak into our lives. Listen, anything human in and of itself will never ever be enough. It never has been. It never will be. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God, all are as nothing, nothing but dust, the scripture says. Man has sinned and man has fallen. In John chapter 3, verse 26, when John the Baptist's ministry is waning and Jesus is increasing, his disciples came to him in verse 26, and they said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you've testified, behold, he's baptizing, and all are coming to him. He's baptizing now, and everybody's coming to him now. But John says something really, really significant. And I think you'll agree with me. Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given him from heaven. Let me say that again. A man, a woman, a person can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the one. I'm fallen. I'm just a human being. I'm just somebody that God has used and raised up for a brief time for his purposes. But I've been sent ahead of him. And he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And so this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase and I must decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. It ought to be the heartbeat of our lives in view of who this great God is in our lives. But we're always jockeying for position, aren't we? We're always thinking about ourselves. How can we get a little bit more? And how can we count the little more that we get? And all of a sudden, sometimes even in Christian life, it all becomes about the flesh and all about the self. And we'll raise up doctrines that will just feed the flesh. It'll be all about the flesh and not the Spirit of God. And we run after things, even in the name of Jesus, that really do not profit. He must increase. I must decrease. I'm not the bridegroom. I'm just the friend of the bridegroom. The bridegroom is here, and I'm rejoicing that he's here. He must increase, I must decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. Hey, listen, if we'll have that kind of attitude every single day of our lives, I want to tell you, God will do exciting, abundant things. He'll do it in your marriage. Just say, oh, I must decrease. He must increase in this marriage, in this relationship. It's him that needs to increase, not me. Not me as a husband or me as a wife. He needs to increase. We need to decrease. Because we wake up and we realize, I've been living life for me and not him. But John, he had something different, didn't he? He knew his purpose. And listen, his purpose for a brief shining moment, and I'm talking just a few months, that was the extent of his ministry. Just a few months. And then Jesus would come and just have 3 years. That's it. That's it. But it was the attitude. It was the spirit that said, listen, it's not about me. It's nothing about human potential. Matter of fact, without Christ, I'm nothing. I'm absolutely, totally nothing without him. And it's the attitude and it's the spirit that we must walk in. It's the spirit of humility that we must grab onto and hold on to the rest of our lives, because the Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but yet he's opposed to the proud. So when we think about human potential, don't get me wrong, because human beings are part of God's plan to empower, to be like Christ, to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his mouthpiece. Listen, we all fall short. We all fall short. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to you about what I believe are the two most powerful resources ever available for you and me today. The two most powerful resources. And I think we can find this here in Luke chapter 11. As we've been studying it through prayer, as we come to the end of this teaching that Jesus has. So let's look at this together, and we'll start in verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves because a friend of mine has come to me on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, don't bother me. The door's already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and get you anything. I tell you, even though he will get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, his importunity is the literal word, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who's asking receives. And he who is seeking finds. And to him who's knocking, it's opened. Now suppose one of your fathers has asked by his son for a fish. He'll not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he'll not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? By the way, the Bible says he's given you everything you need to live godly. Everything you need to live this life out. You have everything that you need, every resource available from the kingdom of God to live this out. Every resource you need to walk in forgiveness, to walk in peace, to walk in joy, to walk in life, to be patient. Everything that you need to be conformed into the image of Christ. You have it all. You have everything that you need if you're in Christ. The question is, do you believe that today? Because this is what the Word says we have. It's what the Word speaks. And so I want to tell you that I believe the most powerful resource ever is the Word of God. Okay, it's the Word of God, especially the Word of God in prayer. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, and what does he do? He gives them his Word. Father, hallowed be your name. That's the Word of God now. The minute that it was spoken, it became God's Word, but also as the writers wrote, inspired under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to record this for us, all of a sudden we have the Word to pray. And I tell you, it's powerful. It's powerful to pray, oh God, in this circumstance, in this situation, in this life, in this grand scheme of my life, may your name be hallowed. May your name be glorified. Again, not me. May your name increase and mine decrease. It's the word of God. It's how we're to live. It's how we're to breathe. It's how we're to pray. And so we share it. We speak it. We believe it. We pray it. And there's power in God's name being glorified, or God's kingdom come and advanced, or his will being done, or his provision being seen and enjoyed, or when he says, forgive us our debts as we're forgiving everyone, as forgiveness is received and given, where God leads us not in temptation, but delivers us from the evil one, where we see the tempter thwarted and freedom alive. This is powerful resources. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the flash prayers of life. Do you remember that? Where we just talk about moving through life and something's happened in our lives and we cry out this phrase or we cry out this word, oh God, save me. And God seems to come along and do something significant. Well, those are just the powerful resources that you have in your heart and your life to speak right in the moment. Oh God, be glorified. May your name be honored here. Oh God, I'm walking through this temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. A little flash prayer, a little prayer here that just goes a long way. Why? Because I'm speaking the word of God back to God. And so when I'm praying, God, forgive me of my sins, I know I'm forgiven. I'm just confessing. I'm just agreeing with God. When I say, oh God, give us this day our daily bread, or God, I've got this need, he knows it already beforehand, and he's at work right now. I'm just lining up to it. I'm just believing it. I'm just walking it out in that moment. And that's why we ask. That's why we ask. What I want to say to you is that the word of God is so powerful. If you've spent any time here, you know one of my favorite verses about the Word of God is Psalm chapter 19. Go to there for just a moment, Psalm chapter 19. Notice what the Scripture says about Scripture. Chapter 7. The law is perfect. It's complete. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. Verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. They're more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. They're sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there's great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I'll be blameless. I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Do you see how powerful this resource is? As I read the word, as I open it, as I study it, as I believe it. Some of you here today, you've come with broken souls. Your soul is devastated because of sin, devastated because of poor choices, devastated. It's broken. And yet God says, listen, my work in the Word, my work in Scripture, my work from Scripture, the things that I speak, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I've come to restore your soul. I've come to restore it. Some of your hearts are sad today. Sad. The Bible says in verse 8 that the precepts of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. They rejoice the heart. Some of us today may be making poor choices. And we can just say it. I'll just say it this way. We're doing stupid stuff. And yet the Bible says this word makes you wise. It makes the simple wise. The Scripture says that this word enlightens the eyes. It's pure. It gets us to see. This Bible, this word, it's more desirable than gold, much more than fine gold, and it's sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. It's better than money, and it's better than food. And that's why I will say to you today, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Believe this word. Live this word. Read it. Know it. Understand it. Trust God to speak to you through it. Oh, he wants to speak. That's how approachable he is. And this is why when Jesus is teaching us to pray, uses principles of Scripture. And you can see all through Scripture these principles. Matter of fact, we were on this prayer for 6 months. 6 months. That's how deep it is, how rich it is, how wide it is, the breadth of it, the depth of it. Because why? It is the Word. It is God's Word. It is God's written Word to you. It is the record of who He is and what He says to do. And so the Word of God in prayer, a great resource. If you go back to Luke 11, that's why He'll say to us in this passage, so He'll say in verse 9, I'm saying to you, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock, verse 9, knock and it shall be opened. I love the tenses of the verbs here. It's ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And he gives this illustration of this guy. He's in bed and the neighbor comes and knocks and says, hey, I need some bread. I don't have anything. We're out for the day. And all I need is three little loaves of bread. I've got somebody who's traveled and they're on a journey, and I know it's midnight, but hey, let me in. And the guy says, hey, I can't do this. We're already in bed. Everything's shut up. And I've got my kids in bed. I don't want to get up and give you bread. And Jesus says, he doesn't get up because he's a friend. Why? He gets up because of his persistence, of his importunity. What he's saying is that this guy was brash. This guy was bold. This guy was confident. Came to the house at midnight and knocked on it. And I don't know about you. I'd say, you're here for that? You're here for that? And Jesus says, listen, I want you to come into my throne room of grace. And I want you to come boldly. I want you to come brashly. I want you to come confident. Hey, this is the God of God we serve. He's saying, listen, don't think that there's anything too trivial for God. I mean, he knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything about you. Matter of fact, we have a God that wants you to knock at midnight, even if it's just asking for 3 biscuits. I'm just telling you, keep on asking. Keep on asking. I think about these 3 words, ask, seek, and find. Thought about a couple of things. Just want to just share with you real briefly. Number one is we keep on asking. And there's a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call to me and I'll answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Ask of me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. And he says, just keep on asking. Just keep on asking. There's some of you here that say, well, that doesn't sound like faith to me. I'm sorry, it sounds like faith to me to keep on asking. So if you keep on asking, are you believing? Yeah, I'm believing every time I ask. I want to do that. Hey, has your kid ever asked you something and just did it? He asked you or she asked you ad nauseum and you finally gave in and you gave, right? Keep on asking. You're in a situation, you're in a struggle, you're in a heartache, you're in a need. He knows your need. Yeah, he already knows it. But listen, he has designed the means to see that need met by you asking and asking in faith. Keep on asking. Call to me. I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Bible says keep on asking. Don't ever tire in asking God. He doesn't tire. He doesn't tire at all. He's not up there scratching his head. I mean, yeah, we got to wait sometimes. Yeah, there's some patience that we have to do when things aren't going our way. But just keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on seeking. You know, I love Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12. It said, you will call upon me and I will answer you when you seek for me with all your heart. And I will listen to you, he says. You'll come, you'll pray to me, and you'll find me when you search for me with everything that you are. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We seek. We ask, we keep on seeking. We keep on in this journey of looking to him and seeking his face and seeking his ways. We keep on knocking. We knock for opportunities. We knock on the door of people's lives to have influence. And you know, I don't mean to say it like in a pestering way, but listen, whenever God asks you to knock, just go knock. You seek for those and you ask and you knock for those opportunities that God has for you, that God's designed for you. And watch the doors open. Doors of opportunity to share faith, to bless God with, to bless people with. And that's why Jesus says, hey, keep on asking that my name be glorified, my name be honored. Keep on asking for forgiveness of sins. Keep on asking for daily provision. Keep on asking to be delivered, to walk in freedom. Just keep on asking. Keep on asking. Because all you're asking, when you're asking according to this, you're asking according to God's word. And I want to tell you, there's power in God's word in prayer. It just is. There's just something powerful about it. And I want to ask you, do you believe that about the word today? And do you believe it so much that you're praying it on a regular basis? I really love what the psalmist said in Psalm 19. He says, you know, the word of God is so great, it rejoices the heart. Some of us are so sad and so down about things going on in our lives, or about things of the past, that instead of having the joy of the Lord, we have the grumbling spirit of man. And the Bible says, listen, you get into this word, you get into this Bible, you read this Bible, you believe this Bible, you speak it, you want to share it, you want to do the things, you want to pray it, you want to live it, you will find joy. I'm not saying that your circumstances change necessarily. There's Christians today getting beheaded. They're being martyred for the faith. But I'm not talking about a flesh gospel. I'm talking about a spirit-soul gospel. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about today. And circumstances are hard, and sometimes circumstances are difficult, but the Bible promises that His Word is so great and so powerful. It's a great resource to rejoice your heart, to restore your soul, to make you wise, to enlighten your eyes. And that's why He says, hey, invest in it like you'd invest gold and eat it like it's food. Because it's better than that. It is the great resource of the Word of God. What I like about what Jesus goes on to say, and really is the whole premise of the whole thing on how God teaches us to pray. Verse 11, now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Nor if he asks for an egg, he'll not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What I want to say is not only the Word of God in prayer is one of the most powerful resources ever, the Holy Spirit is the most powerful resource that you can ever possess in this life. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the manifestation of God in His presence in this world and through the church. And what's really great about this, when I'm asking God for certain things, when I'm seeking God for certain things, when I'm knocking, guess what He does? He doesn't necessarily give us those things. He gives the provider of those things, which is the Holy Spirit. It's what He's given us. The very source of everything that we need in this life. The very source and power. It's the Holy Spirit that we ask for. It's the third person, again, of the Trinity. Holy Spirit is God. And it's God in us. It's God in you. It's God in the world. And Jesus said, He said, listen, the reason why I have to go is because if I don't go, I can't send the Spirit into your life individually, corporately. And I have to go. Where's Jesus today? He's on the throne. Where's God the Father? He's in heaven, ruling and reigning. Jesus is at the throne, ruling and reigning. Where's the Holy Spirit? Hey, He's living in you right now. Oh, how powerful is that? How wonderful is that? And that's why it's just so important to acknowledge it. And when I'm asking God in these circumstances of like, ah, I want your Holy Spirit. It's not what God said. I've already given it to you. You don't have to ask. No, it's not like that. It's like it's just a reminder that the Spirit of God's living in me. And He's better than food. And He's better than money. And He's better than stuff. And He's better than relationships. And He's better than the job. And He's better than the career. And He's better than success. And He's better than all these things. He is better. He's God. And He's living in me. And I got Him. We got Him. We found it. We have Him. And this is what he says. When you look at Scripture and what the Holy Spirit does, and we're gonna look on some little bit more about it next week, but spend some time. But I want to give you five things real briefly, and we'll come back next week and talk about it. But first of all, the Holy Spirit empowers you, prays for you, teaches you. The Lord, he leads you. And then the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit, he changes you. He transforms you. I have a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to notice what he says about the Spirit of God in verse 17 and about the change that God wants to place in your life. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Will you believe that today? Where the Spirit of God is, there's freedom. Freedom. Now watch. We all with unveiled face, beholding, seeking, looking, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, watch, are being transformed. We're being changed into the same image of Jesus from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, watch, the Spirit. It's from the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit, God, Christ in you, who makes this change and effects this change in your life that brings you from the pit, as we prayed earlier, to the rock, who takes you from the miry clay and places you on the rock, stuck in the mud of life. Now your footsteps are firm on the rock, Jesus, and you're singing a new song because of the Holy Spirit's work in you. Now watch this. Just watch. And we'll close with this. I come to God and I say, God, I need power today. And what does he say? Here's the Spirit who gives power. Lord, I need comfort today. Let me just give you the comforter. How's that? Is the comforter better than comfort? Yeah, because the comforter gives comfort and you're always there. Never forsakes you, never leaves you. It's always there. So that's what he does. God, I need help today. Well, I'll tell you what, instead of just giving you help, I'll give you the helper, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the one called alongside to help. Oh, Lord, God, I in this decision I need right now, I've got a decision to make and I need wisdom in it. Hey, how about if I not give you the decision, but I just give you the decision maker? What if I just give you the Holy Spirit who will lead you right now and forever in this decision? Let me tell you, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I want to open the altar up for you, that if you need to come down and say, God, I've been asking for the wrong things. I'm asking for your Holy Spirit today. I'm asking for your Spirit to come. I'm asking for you to come. I'm not asking you to change things. I'm just asking for your Spirit to come into my life, to come right now. Again, Lord, I know you're here. I know you're in my life. I received you into my life. You know, I was baptized by the Spirit into the church, into the living God. That's what happened. And I know I've got the Spirit, but God, I need you right now. I need your Spirit. We've been going about this all wrong, God. We've been thinking it's about us. But it's not about us. It's about your kingdom, and it's about you. God, I've been asking for comfort, but I just need the comforter. I've been asking for a decision, but God, I just need the decision giver. It's where we come to the place in our lives that we say, you're enough, God. You are enough. And I praise you. And I bless you. And I thank you. Greatest resource ever, Word of God and prayer. The Holy Spirit, living God. How's God speaking to you? What's God saying? I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. I'm here if you need me prayer. If there's more of you, I'll find somebody to pray for you. You need counsel, whatever it is, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here today and you say, hey, my soul's been broken and I need Jesus today for the first time. I need Jesus for the first time. Father, I pray in your name that as we come to this place to sing, that God, that you would just bless us right now with your presence. Holy Spirit, living God, fall fresh upon us, we pray. Thank you for this resource. May we believe in it. May we live it.
maybe we'd be filled with this resource today, the Holy Spirit, living God. I ask this in your name. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. To find out more, call us at 254-445-2929. If you're a Facebook user, you can find us at Cottonwood Life. Or visit us online at cottonwoodlife.org.
Proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our word to live by.